standing inside the doorway. Use it only in emergency. Better you should pray to God, the Father and the Spirit will guide you and protect you from up here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me calling you? Can you hear me? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me calling you?
Welcome, my friends. Yes, it is August the 29th, Michael Jackson's birthday. Happy birthday, Michael Jackson. This is The Flip Side, Robbie Noel, with you for 1 hour. This hour brought to you by the Public Trading Group. Our toll-free number is 1-800-691-7898. The web address, republictradinggroup.com. And now I'm hearing music in the background.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
I'm tired of working every day for a dollar. About to choke on my own blue collar. This ain't gonna last.
Welcome to the flip side for Wednesday, my friends. Sorry about the small little technical difficulties we've been having. Let me give you a market update before we bring up our usual guest for Wednesday, Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. Well, apparently word has spread around Wall Street that the Fed's going to cut rates. And it was just the news that Wall Street wanted to hear today. As AP reports, stocks rebounded sharply today as investors growing more optimistic about chances for an interest rate cut. Market completely disregarded the subprime crisis spreading to high-end homes. They were just happy to have a day where the Dow was up, erasing yesterday's gains. Dow closed up 247 points at 13,289. NASDAQ up 62 points at 2,563. And the excitement and enthusiasm went all the way to the S&P 500, up 31 points at 1,463. In the metals complex, gold irked out a $1.50 gain at 667.10. Silver up 4 cents at $11.91. Platinum up $9 at $1,269. Palladium up $2 at $3.29. Currently in Asia, gold up 80 cents at $6.67.80. Silver up 4 cents at $11.95. Platinum off $1 at $12.68. Palladium up $3 at $3.33. Crude oil up 4 cents, closing the day at $73.55 a barrel. Apparently, we got more refinery problems. We got enough oil, we just have a refinery problem. U.S. dollar index losing 8 basis points today. All eyes on the dollar. If Mr. Bernanke says something stupid on Friday, dollar index sitting at 80.64. As we do each and every Wednesday, a great pleasure to welcome Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries to the show, and I thank Charles for waiting patiently while we infringed on the hour's time. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you, and happy to be here.
Well, yeah, I'm always happy to be somewhere on any given day.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I like being here.
Yes. Even for those of us in the Valley of the Sun who are enthusiastically applauding breaking an all-time record of 28 days with temperatures above 110.
Yeah, that must be an omen of something.
Well, you know what I was thinking this morning when I stand. It was about 9 o'clock this morning. I was filling up gas. By the way, gas is cheap in the elite enclaves of Scottsdale, Arizona.
It is.
$2.80. I almost fell over. But as I was standing there. And this was, as I said, was early this morning. Temperatures couldn't have been more than, say, 105. And I was thinking what it must be like for people living in the Middle East, especially in Baghdad. We hear reports that temperatures of 120 degrees are normal. I don't know how people can function in 120 degrees.
No.
Yeah.
Without air conditioning and without adequate water.
Has to add to the tension.
Yes, without those things, you really wonder how the families can function.
Before we get into a lot of other stuff, there was a story that came out last week, which I found fascinating. And because I've questioned God many times. I've questioned the existence of God. I've questioned the meaning of life. And I guess it's Newsweek or Time came out last week with the front cover of Mother Teresa with this big expose that in letters that Mother Teresa had written to colleagues that she herself questioned the existence of God. And some people took this as some sort of revelation, but it gave me inspiration that here was someone that obviously had deep commitments to faith, but she was questioning the existence,
yeah,
or questioning her faith. Am I odd that I question? I mean, have you questioned that question before?
Yeah, absolutely, I have, and I think it's normal to question that. It a lot of times of stress. And to wonder about the things we see around us and the seemingly inequities where the bad seem to prosper sometimes and the good guy you know seems to have a problem. So all of those things cause you to I think, question God at times. And some of us have come out of background where we didn't believe there was a God and into a position where we believe there is one. But of course, what makes me believe Christianity is got to be a fact and has to be true is that it's too difficult for anybody to invent. Anybody who was trying to invent Christianity the way Christ actually taught it certainly wouldn't have written it the way he did, because it's so hard that nobody'd want to follow it. So it's so difficult that it doesn't seem that possible to achieve it. So. That convinces me absolutely that it must be true, because nobody would think of writing it that way. Blessed are the peacemakers, turn the other cheek. Blessed are the humble and the meek. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's a real statement. It was really referred to a literal camel and a literal needle. So that's a tough statement for a Wall Street a mogul at the head of a mortgage banking company right now to accept. So there's plenty of reason to question your faith, but that's kind of the reason I find that Christianity must be right, because none of the charlatans that we know in it would have ever dreamed it up the way it really is written.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of criticism has fallen Christian Amanpour and CNN's way with her six-hour series called God's Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it more than once. It's been rerun many times. And I can criticize certain things that Christian Amanpour said. For instance, in her whole thesis about the series was that religion has cost more lives, religious wars have cost more lives since the beginning of time than any other death of citizens, if you will. Is that a correct statement?
I don't believe so. This is pretty philosophical, and it's pretty much just my own opinion. But I see that these wars that are fought seemingly sounding like they might be religious are usually some leader who has found a way to harness religion to his benefit. And so it may be remembered as a religious war, such as George W. Bush. I suppose when he's remembered in the annals of history, it will be put down that he was a devout Judeo-Christian, and yet he led America into the war in Iraq and became unpopular for it. However, I think that's a totally wrong in terms of Bush's leadership. I think he's used the Christianity as a mantle, and no wonder so many people doubt Christianity when they look at George W. Bush and see what he's doing, and then listen to his words and his flimsy espousals of Christianity, which he really doesn't do a very good job of even making. But I really don't think that anybody should consider this this a Christian war. What is, and even when you look at John Hagee and people like that who are now enabling the ongoing serial wars that we're in, and without them there could be no serial wars. So it's very correct to say that these people who pose as Christ followers are instrumental in continuing and maintaining and elevating these wars. However, again, they do it by abandonment of Christian principles and by adopting something else in its name called Zionism, which is totally a political philosophy, and then they mask that in a shroud of Christianity and wrap that around them like a mantle and march with it in front of them and raise money and use it. But again, I don't think we can blame God for that. I think we have to blame our own gullibleness and the fact that we do not know what we're supposed to believe, and we allow ourselves to be sold on the Hagee-isms and the Robertson-isms and the Schofield-ism that's at the back of a lot of it, and all of the stuff that's produced for money and by the left in the Left Behind series. So I think that to say that this is that religion has been at the root it would be much better to say that religion has been used in every war where somebody can figure out a way to use it.
Oh, absolutely. If I do have a critique of, and there's a couple of things I could have critiqued in her piece on God's Warriors, but obviously that was my main critique, because the whole premise was we are going to show you the three dominant religions in the world, which have been the cause for all the wars and all the deaths. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, Stalin, even though Putin wants to rewrite the history books, Stalin was responsible for killing well over 100 million people.
Yes.
So, anyway, we are speaking with Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. We'll take a short break. Be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
On this Wednesday, our guest, Charles Carlson, Straight Gate Ministries. You can access his website at whtt.org. First of all, you got a great mention. You got a great mention in the American Conservative.
I heard about that.
Yeah, owned by our good friend Patrick J. Buchanan, an article by Michael Dougherty entitled Zealous for Zion, John Hagee's Assembles the Amen's Corner, Amen Corner. And is as with many people who obviously come to question dispensationalism, it's a very good piece, and he gives you a good plug, as he says. Not every evangelical is pleased with Hagee or his conference. Pastor Chuck Colson flew in from Scottsdale, Arizona, to greet Christians United for Israel with a giant yellow sign reading "Reject Apostate Christianity." So you got to mention that.
I got a promotion too. He made me into a pastor.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, yes. Well, there you go. It's obviously very revealing what they say. I don't know how many people are paying attention. But go back and tell us about the creation in large part of and the fact that Darby had because we're going, this is not something new. This is going back some time.
That's right. Christian Zionism is today treated like it was a brand new thing that just sprouted out of the ground. And it's not. It was actually created by a very careful movement that goes back to the late 1800s. And it has its roots back a little further than that. If you really date Christian Zionism back, it goes back about as far as the Mormon Church. In fact, I think that John Nelson Darby and the Mormon Church were contemporaries, although they didn't in different countries. But Christian Zionism sprouted from Darbyism, and that is sort of that's the theology background that it was used to develop Christian Zionism. It was sort of borrowed from this Darby, who came over from England with it, and he believed in a great Armageddon war. He believed in an end times, a great struggle, a rapture. The good guys were going to be lifted away, and in peace and harmony, and the rest of us would be left behind. So he sort of taught that back in the 1830s and 40s in Scotland, and that got transported into the United States and took root in a minor way, but it didn't amount to anything and was sort of scoffed at. And then along came Cyrus I. Schofield in 1908, and he actually came along a few years before that. He was sort of an over-the-hill practicing lawyer who didn't go to law school. And he didn't come along either. He was discovered by the World Zionist Movement, in our opinion. Evidence is that he actually was found by the Zionist Movement and used as a ghostwriter, maybe the way Karl Marx was used to write the Communist Manifesto by groups. But he wrote this Bible called the Schofield Reference Bible, which he finished in 1908, and in it he wrote the State of Israel into it, and then he incorporated into it these ideas of a second coming in Israel of Christ, where Christ would actually gallop back. And they invented scripture, or they reconstructed scripture to match their ideas, and they then wrote it all down, and to legitimatize it, they used the King James Bible. They didn't change the Bible, but they simply wrote notes between the lines that changed what it meant. And they put them in italics so they could always contend that they really weren't changing anything, they were just making little friendly additions. And then they wrote voluminous pages of footnotes at the bottom, which explained what all the text was supposed to mean. And, Robbie, I think one reason they used the King James is it was becoming increasingly difficult to read by Americans. The old English language was cumbersome for a lot of people, and they were more likely to trust the footnotes, which were written in modern English, than when they didn't quite know how to interpret the Bible. So this is the roots of Christian Zionism. It was actually created by this book by Darby, and he was paid to do it by people in the U.S. who probably were linked to the Zionist movement pretty closely. But whether or not those links are really can be accurately established doesn't make as much difference as the fact that the Bible was actually printed by the Anglican outfit known as Oxford University Press, which was controlled by the Rothschild family. And, of course, they were extremely close. Lord Rothschild was the bosom friend of the Zionist movement. He took the Balfour Declaration from Lord Balfour. It was written to him. So they're the ones that actually produced the Schofield Bible.
We're speaking with Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. We'll take a short break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So, what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down, it's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Flipside for Wednesday. We're speaking with Charles Parsons, Freightgate Ministries, whose website, WHTT.org. Great website, by the way. Are you familiar with D.L. Moody?
Yes, I am. D.L. Moody and his organization were very early in the Christian Zionist movement, the Judeo-Christian movement at that time, or the evangelical movement at that time. And D.L. Moody was members of D.L. Moody's organization. The presidents of his seminaries sat on the board of the Scofield Reference Bible. They were on the editing board early on the first Scofield Reference Bible in 1908. And what that did is legitimatized the Scofield Reference Bible. And that, of course, was pulled off by prestigious Oxford Press, who was very capable of coming into Chicago and talking to Mr. Moody and saying, "We're going to publish a Bible here, and we'd like you to be on the editorial board." And what else they told him, we don't know. But the Moody organization has been very, very much involved in the dispensational movement from scratch.
He was called Billy Sunday?
Billy Sunday, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
And one could make an argument that was that, or make a statement that was the start of the mega churches, which people think started in the 80s, but actually we're going back to 1900.
Yes. Yes, it could have been. Yes, that's true. I don't want to over exaggerate the importance of Schofield, because other people have had huge impacts. But this book, the Schofield Reference Bible, was so impeccably done. It was a masterpiece of construction. They were just beautiful books that pastors loved to carry under their arm. They had beautiful leather covers, some of which have lasted over 100 years. I have a couple of originals, and they still have good covers on them. They were terrific, and the way they were designed, and it was a masterpiece of typesetting and all kinds of things. And it took these seminaries like Moody Bible Institute by storm. And they had all of these seminaries on their board, and we can only surmise, we don't know how they got the Bibles in. They probably gave everybody a Bible, is the most likely thing that they would do. But however they did it, the American seminaries became flooded with the Schofield Reference Bibles, and they then came... Young pastors took these out into the churches and began teaching from them. And that is the origin of the Christian Zionist movement. It's the influence of this Oxford University Press, which still publishes the Bible today, and is now it's about a fifth edition. And each time they republish it, the footnotes become more and more aggressive. So that originally, for instance... Schofield wrote notes that didn't mention the State of Israel, because there was no State of Israel. And to mention the State of Israel would have been ridiculous. So he talked about, if he talked about Israel, he was talking about a tribe or a man. But by 1967, Oxford University Press just reinterpreted the use of the word Israel to mean the current modern political state of Israel, which didn't even exist when any of this occurred, and certainly didn't happen at the time of the events supposedly did happen. So they've used this book to sell Christian Zionism, and all of the other study Bibles that have copied it or have improved upon it in many cases in terms of their subtleness and their ability to sell to very intelligent people are based upon the same premises that are laid out in that original Schofield Reference Bible.
After watching that one video that I told you about last week by Max Blumenthal,
yes,
the liberal Jew.
I watched that also.
Yeah. Dispensationalists or those people that were there obviously believe that the previous two world wars, the Holocaust, and most importantly the founding of Israel, were all signs of the truth of their belief system.
Yes.
How did they get that? How did they make that leap?
They believe that these wars are in Israel's best interest. And they're told that. And these footnotes, it goes back to this old Abraham story, is, believe it or not, if you, in almost every situation that comes up that's kind of a debate, it always goes back to the same little story, whether you're talking to a activist Jew or a Christian Zionist. And that's the Abrahamic story, the story of Abraham giving the land, God giving the land to Abraham. And in the story, God gives land to Abraham and promises that someday from his loins will come a great blessing to all mankind. And Christians have always believed that was the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
That is Christianity. Nobody's ever argued about that until along came the Christian Zionists. Now, of course, the Jewish activists, they debate and they simply say, see, God promised the state of Israel the land, all the land of the Middle East, all the way from Baghdad to Cairo. That's what they would say. Christians now have accepted that, and so then Schofield went on to define anti-Semitism, or rather the Oxford Bible went on to later define anti-Semitism, because Schofield didn't mention anti-Semitism, but Oxford Press added it later. And they basically said any country that does not bless Israel will be cursed. And any country, and these curses will become more dominant as time goes on. And so these people that were interviewed really believe that if America does not adequately find ways to bless the political state of Israel, that America is going to become a cursed nation and maybe burned down by God, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're taught that. Does that answer your question, or have I not gone far enough?
Well, explain to me, and I have to explain to the audience, that I'm a Christian on training wheels, and I've lost my wheels a lot of times in the past, and I'm just trying to recover them and trying to find the answers here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole basis on everything that they believe is obviously the statement in the Torah, which mentions Abraham saying, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, which is in Genesis.
Correct.
And that's the whole basis for their belief system. But the question is, who was Abraham talking to?
Yes, well, Abraham was talking to God, all right, and God was talking to Abraham, but who was God talking about? And who he wasn't talking about was some people that immigrated into a land that happened to be the same part of the same acreage, and who had no identity at all with no linkage or anything with Abraham. There's no Israeli citizen who can prove he has any DNA of Abraham or that he's the lineage. But there are notes in the Schofield Reference Bible that actually say every Jew is a physical descendant of Abraham. Now that's a Oxford University Press note. It's actually added. And it's ridiculous on its face, and it's ridiculous in any way you look at it. But what this little section that you've quoted is exactly what every Jew uses, and I have that experience just today. A Jewish group, activist Jewish group, is challenging a Christian leader because he thinks that the Palestinians should have a right to land. And he's being challenged, he's being attacked, his church is actually being picketed because he said that. And the argument used by the Jewish groups that do this is that God gave this land to us. And they quote that little verse that you said, I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee, and in thee shall all the people be blessed. Obviously, you can't give away land based upon something written 3,000 years ago when there is a civilized society living there that has a system of titles, any more than you could give away Maricopa County to the Maricopa Indian tribe if there was one, because their name is the same. I don't know if there ever was a Maricopa Indian tribe, but if someone came along and said there was, and their descendants should get Maricopa County because they have the same name, we would say that was a stretch. But this is the basis on which Christian Zionists operate. It's really that simple. And in matters of discussing it and debating it with people, it always comes down to this one little verse, and these few verses you quoted are it. You cannot over-exaggerate the importance of these verses. That is what everybody's claim to the state of Israel is all about. The Palestinian says, I own the land because my grandfather owned it, and as far as back as we know, owned it, and I have the key to the house that we built there. Even though the Israelis have torn down the house, I still have the key, and we had a system of title that worked.
and they drove us out and took it away from us. So the Israelis simply say they don't want to say we took it fair and square with a gun. They want to say God gave it to us 3,000 years ago, and we had a right to take it away with a gun. And the Christian Zionists basically support that. Even though every one of them owns a house of their own, and if you came to their house and said, I have a claim to this house because something your great-grandfather said to my great-grandfather, they would laugh at you. They believe in title when it comes to their own home, their own car, their own property. But when it comes to these poor people in the state of Palestine, they believe their title means nothing. And that it all is based upon God's promise to Abraham. And not to overly dwell upon it, but that is the root of Christian Zionism. The more we learn about it, the more we realize that it's totally dependent upon that little pretense of a land claim. And, of course, the people who came from Russia and Eastern Europe and all kinds of other places and didn't even know where Israel was and had no idea of, and would not even themselves claim that they had any of Abraham's blood. But still, that is the basis of the argument.
The word you in Hebrew is plural. So
okay.
When Abram says, I will bless those who bless you, being plural should indicate that it was Abraham and his descendants.
Well, actually, he said thee. If you look at the King James, he said, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. And it was very personal. Thee is an extremely personal thing. It's a sort of a word of endearment. And it's very much, thee could be plural, but it's a very direct first party word. So it would not, God could have said, I will bless you, and I will also bless all of your descendants through hundreds of generations, even if they can't tell their descendants or know their descendants, and regardless of where they came from or went, and no matter what they've done or what they believe. But he didn't say any of that. So if we look at the simple language, I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee, what God had promised Abraham was a big family. And the words are pretty simple when you really look at them. And if you look at them from a Christian perspective, that God was promising that there would be a Messiah, a Savior, that would come someday from the lineage of Abraham, this is the reason that Christians remember Abraham. He's not remembered because he bore children at old age. He's remembered because he was proclaimed to be the progenitor of the line, the image, the lineage that would produce a Messiah. That's Christianity.
Yeah, well, you know, yesterday in London, in Parliament Square, I think yesterday on the show I said, Nelson Mandela's new bronze statue was unveiled in Trafalgar Square.
Yep.
It was in Parliament Square, right next to Churchill and President Lincoln. what a collection!
What a collection!
The interesting thing of what Mandela said was he hoped that his statue being there on Parliament Square would inspire all those people around the world who were living under oppression.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people are going to take what his statements made. But obviously that's the whole basis of conflict in the Middle East. I mean, the problems that we are dealing with in the Middle East are numerous. But by and large, what we are dealing with is a situation that we're never going to resolve because there doesn't seem to be any coming together of these. And as it's going to get worse, because as you know, next week, Mersheimer's book comes out. Well, Volk Mersheimer's book?
Yes.
The Israeli lobby?
Yes.
And there is a strong concerted effort from many forces who want to discredit their argument that U.S. foreign policy is dictated by the Israeli lobby. Yet Jimmy Carter said as much in that CNN piece, that there's not a single politician in America who wants to get reelected that would ever think of voting against Israel.
That's exactly right. And now that the Israeli PACs, which AIPAC is a leading one, of course, has this tremendous influence over the Christian right, you now have 70 or 80 million, maybe 40 million Christian voters in America who listen to AIPAC.
Yes, unfortunately. We're speaking with Charles Carlson, Straight Gate Ministries. You want to get hold of Charles? Get a pen and paper. We'll give you that information when we get back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
The world today seems absolutely crackers, with nuclear bombs to blow us all sky high. There's fools and idiots sitting on the trigger. It's depressing and it's senseless, and that's why I like Chinese.
Welcome back, listeners. Well, sometimes the song works in different contexts, but right now it doesn't. You can reach Charles Carlson, Straight Gate Ministries, at P.O. Box 14491, Scottsdale, Arizona. The zip is 85267. or you can give them a call at 480-947-3329. As mentioned, they've got a great collection of literature, and I'd like to thank you for One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. I haven't got into it yet, but it's sitting right here, three-day weekend coming up. I'm sure I'm going to get through it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Robbie.
It is probably the most contentious issue that we can deal with. It's a very sensitive subject. Judging by some of the responses I've seen posted on many web pages, as a matter of fact, a web page was taken down today because they found it was anti-Semitic. It was a website called the Zionist Watch, and all it simply did was report on activities of Zionism. But I guess the blog felt that it moved over to anti-Semitism, and this is a tough thing. Whenever you talk about this, the demagoguery that goes on, and so long as that goes on, we're never gonna get an adult solution to this problem.
No. Well, I want to I'd like to read you just a line of the introduction from One Nation Under Israel, which is a book that's 10 or 12 years old now. Former United States Senator J. William Fulbright, chairman of the powerful Senate Foreign Relations Committee, stated repeatedly in 1973, quote, "Israel controls the U.S. Senate," end quote. James G. Aberesk of South Dakota told reporters at a Colorado Jefferson Jackson Day dinner where he was the keynote speaker in 1977, quote, "As the United States Senator, I have sworn an oath to uphold the government of the United States, but I never dreamed I would be required to swear allegiance to any other government." He continues, "The United States is likely to become, if it has not already become, a captive state of its client state." Fulbright was driven from office by the very lobby he tried to expose, a testimony to the power of the Israeli lobby. Senator Aberesk, from my home state of South Dakota, by the way, served only one term and didn't even try to run again. This is the first line of the publisher's introduction to One Nation Under Israel. So this was so evident in 1973 and 1977, and James and a man named Percy, Charles Percy, later on.
Yeah.
And yet this APEC, this tremendous power structure, is not known very well by the American people. And now it's linked up with the Christian right. That's the tremendous danger.
I couldn't say that better myself. Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Robbie. Bye.
Thank you. Charles Carlson, Straight Gate Ministries. Look, I learn stuff every day. It's a tough one. This is definitely a tough one. Anyway, my friends, hope you have a pleasant evening, and we'll do this all again tomorrow. Till then, see you. Bye.
It's true.